Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago, 70 miles east of Indianapolis. Thick black smoke spews from an industrial fire in Richmond, Indiana. Richmond Mayor Dave Snow says it's where plastics are stockpiled.
Our Wayne Emergency Management Office has declared an evacuation of a half-mile radius, and then anyone downwind of this black smoke plume needs to shelter in place.
Indiana State Fire Marshal Steve Jones tells WTTV-TV that the smoke is toxic.
This fire is going to burn for a few days. So it's a big enough fire that it's just not going to be tonight. It's going to burn a while.
No injuries reported. Police in Louisville, Kentucky have released disturbing body camera video showing officers responding to the deadly mass shooting inside a bank yesterday and taking out the killer. CBS's Roxana Saberi has more.
Police have searched the shooter's home and recovered several items, but are still investigating his motive.
We do know that this was targeted. He knew those individuals, of course, because he worked there.
The gunman killed five of his colleagues. Deanna Eckert, who died overnight, Joshua Barrick, Thomas Elliott, James Tutt, and Juliana Farmer, whose car is still parked outside the bank.
California health officials find something in L.A. County's wastewater, bacteria resistant to what's known as a last resort antibiotic. KCBS-TV's Jeff Nguyen with Dr. Adam Smith of USC's Environmental Engineering Department.
Dr. Smith and his team are currently working on wastewater surveillance at USC to monitor COVID-19, influenza, and other diseases. He believes wastewater analysis can be used as early indicators on community health.
So if we see it increasing in wastewater now, we could forecast that there will be an increase in clinical cases for colistin resistance in the future in LA County.
From spring right to summer weather in the plains and Midwest, where nearly 60 cities have seen record-setting temperatures today. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson says by Friday,
we get to about 84 in New York City, 82 in Boston, and even up in the Adirondacks and further north into Maine, Bangor, Maine, will be 74 degrees. So really warm, record heat over the next several days.
The New York City Police Department now has three new robot dogs. They'll enter confined spaces. Mayor Eric Adams saying,
I don't want to have a police officer go in a building where there's someone that's dangerous and lose that police officer.
Former L.A. auctioneer Michael Barsman has agreed to plead guilty to creating fake artwork and falsely attributed the paintings to artist Jean-Michel Basquiat. They ultimately wound up at the Orlando Museum of Art in Florida before being seized by feds. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com.
Are you an experienced industrial painter, drywall finisher, or want to be? Do you want more than a job, but a high-paying career where your interests are well represented, ensuring a safe work environment? The International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7 wants you. Bring your knowledge or ask about paid training. Learn more now. Call Tom Coyne, 262-488-4839, 262-488-4839, or go to the union's website, iupatdc7.com.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lopez Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
Pro tip, if you look up a chili recipe and it doesn't have pasta in it, don't think you can just use all of the same ratios, and adding a box of pasta will not just make it into pasta with chili as the sauce.
You added an entire box of pasta?
I did.
Yeah, that's a little much.
That's too much. I had no supervision.
More like a chili hot dish.
Yeah, exactly.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry, weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on The Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
It's great to be here to speak directly to the woke mob.
The liberals have basically made up this whole agenda that guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Scobody boom boom. Scobody dog.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
So we're back to this question. Are more guns in schools going to make schools safer? Because according to two Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin, they think yes, or at least that it should be left up to each school district to make that call. 844-967-2789. How do you feel about trying to make schools safer by putting more people in schools who are armed? And also, second follow-up question to that, breaking news this morning, the DNC in 2024 is going to be in our neighbor to the south, Chicago, while the RNC is in Milwaukee. So good for the Midwest, but I have to imagine that a lot of people this morning that live in Milwaukee are a little like, really? Really? How do you feel about that, Jane?
I guess I'm not surprised. I'm seeing things on Twitter that people are annoyed that Atlanta or some other more southern city was not chosen, because it's both conventions are so middle Midwest now. So I guess we get to go, nah. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's bragging rights. I mean, certainly if any of us have any in want or desire to go to the DNC, it's a lot easier for those of us in Milwaukee to drive to Chicago and not have to deal with getting a hotel at night. And so because those, if I have any recollection to what hotels were looking like in Milwaukee in 2020 before everything got canceled, that's going to be expensive. But I certainly saw some people already who were reminding everyone that we, you know, the DNC had the opportunity to potentially just immediately announced that 2024 was going to come back in Milwaukee after we had gotten so slighted. Is that the word I want to use? That's the word we're going to use for the radio, at least, because of the pandemic. And so, but you know, the Midwest, there's a lot of swing states in the Midwest. And so I can understand between Michigan and the Wisconsin, certainly Illinois is a stronghold, but I don't really know what goes into those decisions. I would say selfishly, the ability to, if there's an opportunity for Civic Media to be at the DNC, just like there any opportunity for us to be at the RNC to interview people and to be in the middle of it without having to get on a plane, I'm kind of happy about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the bigger strategy behind everything, I never really know how much that kind of stuff plays into what the vote count is at the end of the day.
844-967-2789. Taking your calls on whether or not more guns in schools is the answer to making things safer. Todd from the Chicago area joining us. Thanks, Todd. What do you want to say?
Hey, so there's a study a few years ago by a couple of professors that found that when they interviewed mass shooters, the motivation was to take out who they thought was, like, hurting them, and they didn't plan on making it out alive. So they're not mass murders. They're mass murder suicides. So putting more guns in schools just makes it a bigger target, guaranteeing they won't make it out.
That's really interesting. And I guess, not that I'm playing devil's advocate, because I certainly do not agree with this, because I think there's lots of studies that show more guns, whether it's in schools or not, don't necessarily make people safer. But I think it's the argument maybe being that the shooter would kill less people if they were taken out faster by someone who happened to be ready and armed. But that's interesting what you said. Thank you for the call so much. But go ahead, Jane.
I want to say that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding that at the Covenant school shooting in Nashville, there were two staffers there who were armed.
Yes.
So yes, we already had an instance where we had more guns in the school and it did not keep them safer. And look back to Uvalde. We had half the police force who were
sitting
afraid
outside
to confront the gunman.
I know. And so the background here, and we're asking for your opinion, because some people do genuinely believe this, that would more guns in schools make schools safer? Because two Republican lawmakers are proposing to permit Wisconsin school officials to decide whether to allow employees who are licensed gun owners to carry firearms on school grounds. Now, we're talking about this because it's been proposed. Governor Evers has already pledged that he would veto this, so it's not something that is likely going to happen in the next 4 years, 2 years at least. But the representatives are Scott Allen, who's in the Assembly of Waukesha, and Senator Corey Tomchick. Is that how you pronounce his last
name? Sounds right.
From Mosinee, and this was on Monday, and they released a bill that would create an exception to the state's law banning firearms on school grounds if the person holds a concealed carry license, is employed by the school, and the school board has adopted a policy that allows employees who are licensees to possess a firearm. So basically, this wouldn't be a statewide, their proposal is not a statewide allowance.
Right.
It is allowing school boards to then vote district by district if they would want this to happen. But additional sweetener, the proposal also waives for teachers the fees associated with obtaining a concealed carry license.
Oh, really?
So there's an incentive there.
Oh, okay. 844-967-2789. Parents, would you feel safer sending your kids to school if the teachers were armed? 844-967-2789.
I just don't. It's always interesting to me also, if you think about putting this back on teachers right in the middle of, you know, basically saying we don't trust teachers to teach.
We don't trust,
we don't trust
to pick
your
books.
Curriculum.
Right.
We don't trust what books you're picking, but we trust you with a gun around our kids. That's fine.
Yes.
But all this other stuff that you're actually licensed and educated to do as far as teaching, we need a little bit more oversight there. We need a little bit more parental control there.
Yeah, you can't be
and
trusted.
Those mental gymnastics are always a little like, huh? What? But it's also, you know, so there is science on this, right? We had the caller, I think it was Stephen from Chicago, who said there is a study that shows many of these school shootings are actually suicides. They have no intention on getting out. But, you know, there is the claim that gun ownership stops crime is a common misconception in the U.S. and that belief drives laws that make it easy to own and keep firearms. But about 30 careful studies shows that guns are linked to more crimes, more murders, more rapes, and others. And there is far less research that shows that guns help. And I'll link this to our show notes today on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen, which is where you can always find our show notes, where we put our resources and studies and articles that we reference, sometimes the videos that we play. But I just think it's interesting because it's so far down the list. Whenever Marquette Law School polls Wisconsin on gun legislation, support mandatory background checks, 79%. Support red flag laws, 81%. Support raising the minimum age for gun purchase to 21, 56%. Very concerned about gun violence, 56%. And so arming administration or teachers, not high on that list.
844-967-2789. Always welcome to call and or text at that same number. John from the Stevens Point area, thanks for joining Ask Us Wisconsin. John, what do you want to say?
Hi there. You know, I've been thinking about this, and you look at it either way, and with some of the things that we've been doing so far haven't been working. So, you know, if the federal government were to allow or permit monies to go to the school districts in the United States, where they could hire retired military, Marines, Navy, Air Force, whatever, they're already trained in gun usage. If you were to have them hired in these school districts, you could get a lot of them because there's a lot of retired military out there. I'm sure they'd be more than willing. They've taken an oath to protect the country. They'd be more than willing to help protect the kids. It might deter future gun massacres in schools. It's just a thought.
You know, it's just a thought. And, you know, John, when you said that, the thing where my mind went to is, like, I think on the one hand, you're totally right as far as training. But I also think of how many of our veterans are dealing with PTSD and, like, what kind of the qualifications, I think, to be able to then be armed in schools around kids, specifically there to protect kids. And I don't know enough about veterans. I don't know enough about PTSD to know, is that a good situation or a bad situation? But just as you said, that's at least where my mind went to.
Well, and that's a very valid point. You would obviously have to have some vetting of the military that want to sign up or are applying to do this. And if they're showing signs of PTSD or mental fatigue or, you know, something like that, obviously they're not going to be hired to be in the school district. But,
yeah,
you know,
but
you'd have to,
John,
you'd
just
have
quick,
to be very careful.
So you're not for teachers and administration who work at the school to necessarily be armed, though. You think it should be someone else who has more training?
Well, absolutely. And there are teachers and workers at the school that are trained in that, and that's fine. But I don't think it should fall on them to be armed and protect the kids. I think you should have a separate entity guarding the doorways of the schools. They wouldn't have to be patrolling the halls. I mean, they could, but if you have them at the doorways, you know, you'd be pretty much covered.
John, we got to let you go because we got to go to a break, but thank you so much for the call. And the lines are still open. If you have thoughts on how we continue to try to protect our kids, are you for teachers carrying guns like this new bill from two lawmakers in Wisconsin are proposing? Are you against it? 844-967-2789. We will be right back.
No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power. The Keep Wisconsin Warm, Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw.
Lows around 55 overnight, under clear skies, winds out of the southwest 10 to 15 miles an hour. Highs around 80. Tomorrow, clear skies. Clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night. Lowest level off around 56. Bright sunshine expected Thursday, with daytime highs approaching 79. 76 Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. We are asking, are more guns in schools the answer? And not only is this topical because we are 2 weeks since the Covenant school shooting. We obviously had another shooting yesterday that happened at a bank, but more proximity to Wisconsin. Two Republican lawmakers proposed yesterday to permit Wisconsin school officials to decide whether to allow employees who are licensed gun owners to carry firearms on school grounds. Now, Tony Evers has already said that he would veto this, but it begs the question as far as where people stand on this issue in Wisconsin right now, which is why we're asking you on, is this the next best thing that we can do versus other more popular legislation, at least when you look at polling?
844-967-2789. You can call and or text. Texter from the 608, do we have to worry about suicide by teacher? Are we going to put that burden on teachers now? Will they get a pay raise under this proposal now that we're asking them to potentially use lethal force on their students? I can't make this make sense.
Yeah. Well, and we had a comment on the YouTube live stream, which you can watch. If you'd like to watch us instead of listen to us, you can always do that on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter at As Goes Wisconsin. But Travis says, Dan Grossman's On Killing highlights how useless arming teachers would be due to the relationships that are required to be developed to be a successful teacher. And I looked that up at the break, and it's a book. I think it's actually Dave Grossman. It's called On Killing, The Psychological Cost of Learning to Kill in War and Society. Because I have to say, I don't know. You put me in a school with a gun, I don't know if I'm going to be that useful. I'm going to be totally honest. Like, one, I've shot skeet like twice. I don't know if I don't know if my instincts would necessarily be there. I don't know. Every once in a while, I'll have weird dreams where in the dream, I need to like protect myself. And almost, this is my recurring nightmare, is I can't. Like, I'll try to like punch to like defend myself, and it's just like a jelly arm.
It's a woof.
And so I feel like that's an indication that in a crisis, I may not be the person you want to pick on your team. Like, I don't know how I'm going to do in the zombie apocalypse.
844-967-2789. Kevin from Green Bay, thanks for joining As Goes Wisconsin. What do you want to say?
Well, I think the other gentleman was pretty close on what he was saying as far as ex-military. I mean, it's real easy to track those records because I am a veteran. And, you know, when you leave the service, you get an exit interview, you get an exit physical, and all of that is listed. It's very easy to find. So hiring ex-military as far as, you know, when school starts, and, you know, somebody says Johnny so-and-so has got a gun in his locker, I think I can trust that. I really think I can. The worst case, I don't think you arm teachers. That's not the way to go. You know, teachers are very influential in kids' lives. You can go back and even yourself, you probably got a third grade teacher that was very nice to you and helped you in a lot of ways. You know, well, if they got a gun, that might not happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Thanks a lot,
so
Kevin.
I think that's a very viable option, you know, because a lot of ex-military, and this is another thing, a lot of ex-military that exit the service with good qualifying records wind up usually in the police, or a lot of them go to the Border Patrol. You don't see a lot of accidents there.
Thank you, Kevin, so much for checking in from Green Bay, and thank you so much for your service. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because I don't want to dismiss that. I still want to say that I feel like there's other things we could do before that. Largely because of the actual practicality of someone who is a highly trained military personnel who's now a veteran. Because on most days, on most school districts, they would have nothing to do. You know, it's as common as way too common as shootings are in schools when we look at the nation as a whole, and it's tragic every single time it happens. If you think about every school district, elementary school, middle school, high schools across every city, every state, every county, like that is a lot of people who on most days don't have anything to do. And is that the best use of their training?
844-967-2789. Texter from the 414. Can anyone think of where having a gun prevented a killing? The police have guns, and unfortunately, they get killed. Some schools were already armed, and killings still happen there. As a society, until we find out and try to solve the anger that causes someone to do this, will anyone be safe in school or anywhere else?
Well, there was one case. And now I'm, of course, forgetting the details. There was something last year, I think, where there finally was a case that was like a good guy with a gun stopped a bad guy with a gun. And some people really wanted to hold on to that scenario.
As the example,
As the example of when it works. And I don't know. It's hard because I just wish we would at least try the universal background checks and try the red flag laws. And in the cases where people's Second Amendment is infringed, that could go to court and they could figure it out. But as far as at least trying to keep the people in their lives know that they should not have access to firearms because they are dealing with stuff, it just feels like that's a no-brainer. Should we not try that first?
Well, and to hear that lawmaker in Tennessee after the school shooting there say, yeah, we're not going to fix this. We're just not going to fix this is surrender.
All right, well, we got to take another break. But if you would like to let us know if you think guns and teachers are the answer, 844-967-2789, because there's a proposal in the Wisconsin legislature that wants to potentially do just that. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Authorities in Richmond, Indiana have urged hundreds of people who live near a large industrial fire to evacuate. Richmond's mayor says the owners were under an order to clean up the site. Fire Chief Tim Brown tells WTTV-TV.
The battalion chief on today, he was very frustrated when he pulled up because we knew it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when this was going to happen.
The employee who opened fire, killing five people and wounding eight at a Louisville bank, bought the gun legally a week ago. Dr. Jason Smith at the University of Louisville Health thanks Red Cross.
We used 170 units of blood yesterday to treat these victims, which far outstrips our hospital capacity, and their ability to get us that blood to save those lives helped save those lives.
A bacteria resistant to a last resort antibiotic is detected in L.A. County wastewater. KCBS-TV's Jeff Newman.
The spread of antibiotic resistance is the result of antibiotics being overprescribed for both humans and for livestock.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article in the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
My former boss, George Stanley, former editor of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I've told you the story of that my brother and I are fighting over who's going to send our tickets. I think I have claim because I live here.
Exactly.
Right? He's older, but I live here.
Yeah, but that trumps it.
So. It's been decided now. It's done.
I'll tell my parents. That's even more.
You can let him go to one game if he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation with I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Often find myself agreeing with Big Pharma. But in this case, I'm like, yeah, write those letters. Show your disappointment and your anger over this judge's ruling. Go, Big Pharma.
Yes, that would be a rarity on this program that we're cheering on Big Pharma.
And you know, and I know it's more complex than that because big pharmaceutical companies are also the people who are making breakthroughs in cancer research and Alzheimer's and all of these awful diseases that people live with. And they're also the people, you know, up until very recently were gouging people for insulin. And so it is a double-edged sword as far as the good and the bad that they serve in our country. But I called this yesterday before this news actually broke.
You did, which is really impressive.
Clearly I'm watching a lot of news these days, but we were talking about the now limbo that mifepristone, which is one of the two drugs administered for both miscarriages when a baby needs to pass, but also for people who in the first 10 weeks are seeking to have an abortion. And it's in limbo. It's likely going to end up in the U.S. Supreme Court.
Right.
But as we were talking about it yesterday, it kind of came across. I was like, well, pharmaceutical companies are not going to like this because it's going to cut into their profits or their research. Because if the courts can just override the FDA's approval of drugs, that sets a bad precedent. And lo and behold, pharma industry bigwigs, not big fans of the Texas federal judge's ruling last week, invalidating the FDA's decades-old approval of the abortion medication mifepristone, which would, it's currently still available, where it is available, ban it, its sale nationwide. But yesterday, over 300 biotech and pharma executives signed an open letter calling for the decision's reversal. And the letter, so context, Judge Kaczmarek ruled on Friday that in approving the drug, the FDA, quote, acquiesced on its legitimate safety concerns in violation of its statutory duty, based on plainly unsound reasoning and studies that did not support its conclusions. In the letter shot back that mifepristone, quote, has been proven by decades of data to be safer than Tylenol, nearly all antibiotics, and insulin.
Whoops.
Whoops. And so the letter basically states that if courts can revoke drug approvals without regard for science or evidence or for the complexity required to fully vet the safety and efficacy of new drugs, any medicine is at risk for the same outcome as mifepristone. And so if the industry can't rely on FDA's approval, companies may be more reluctant to make investments in new drugs. And so they're obviously not alone, pharma execs, in seeing the potential of any drug to be unproven by the courts as not a good thing. Legal experts have warned that controversial medicines like the HIV preventative medicine PrEP could be next. And so at least we got Big Pharma on our side, too.
Yay!
Which is a pretty powerful entity. I gotta say, if you're gonna have anyone on your side, if it's not the gun lobby, the Big Pharma company lobby is something.
Yeah, there you certainly have to admit that. And granted, they're doing this out of their own self-preservation, because if this is allowed to stand, this is gonna set precedent where they can... Again, mifepristone was approved 23 years ago. What's to stop them from going back 30 years and saying, you know what, I don't like this drug that you approved 30 years ago. Now we're just going to pull that. One judge gets to determine that that is going to be pulled across the country.
I know. And so it's, but what's interesting is on top of, like, in the wake of that news, the other thing that's interesting, again, not happening in Wisconsin necessarily, but... some blue states are basically just stockpiling mifepristone now.
Yeah.
And so Governor Gavin Newsom, Democrat in California, said they're stockpiling up to 2 million pills. Massachusetts announced that it's already purchased 15,000 mifepristone pills to keep on hand, which is more than a year's supply of doses.
Wow.
And then last week, Washington State said it bought enough mifepristone for about 3 years.
Okay, we're planning ahead.
And so some places are planning ahead. And then meanwhile, some clinics are saying that they will continue to prescribe mifepristone until the FDA tells them otherwise. So...
And I just want to make this clear for folks that a miscarriage, its technical definition is a spontaneous abortion. That's what a miscarriage is. It's a spontaneous abortion. And if the tissue does not exit a woman's body, she can get sepsis and she can die. So there are reasons that this is used in cases of miscarriages as well. And I think that can be glossed over, and it shouldn't be.
Oh, it's absolutely glossed over.
Right?
I just, you know, one of the, and then I want to move on, but when we did our, was that Thursday or Friday last week when we were talking about the GOP war room and all the postmortems that are being written, some, you know, some things are public statements. I'm sure there's a lot more private conversations happening right now in the aftermath of Dan Kelly losing last week. But one of the quotes from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article that quoted a bunch of different GOP operatives and elected politicians, I made the joke or the observation that there was more people quoted named Mark in that article than there were women. Mm. So maybe that's a starting point of like, maybe get some more women in your leadership. But Glenn Grothman, who pretty notoriously, I think, you know, whether you want to joke about it or not, but facts are facts. He lived with his mother for a very long time. He is not married, has never been married. And he had some comment in there about not understanding when people see that, see the ultrasound, and when they see that, being willing to go forward with an abortion. And all I could think is like, when have you ever looked at an ultrasound that had anything to do with you? What have you not looked at just a picture of someone else's ultrasound? Because this is clearly a man who's never been in a, you know, committed enough relationship that they were trying to have children for him to know anything at all, what the experience of getting pregnant, having someone you love and care about and are in a relationship with getting pregnant and going through that process. I was like, what are you talking about?
let's see your OBGYN, you know, license, and then we can talk.
It's exactly,
you know, we all like to opine on things on which we are not necessarily expert, and we can all have an opinion, but still, if I'm diagnosed with cancer, I'm going to an oncologist. I'm not going to a plumber.
All right. Well, speaking of other crazy lack of empathy, lack of understanding GOP moves in the last week. So this one does not take place in Wisconsin. Thank God.
It's a neighbor though. Neighborish.
It's neighborish, and it's not a far cry from, you know, the Waukesha school board not wanting to give free lunches to students because they saw it as a handout and not taking personal accountability. Speaking of that, we're actually going to have Sarah Harrison's going to come back.
Great.
As is Dave Dringenberg. Two parents who have been very active in all of the things, not just the Rainbow Land thing that obviously made national news, but I think in general, the ongoing issues that a lot of parents have with the current Waukesha school board and the decisions they're making. And so they're going to be here tomorrow because they have, been doing a lot of work as far as press releases and trying to organize around this. So that's going to be tomorrow. But this feels like it's something that could happen here, but has not happened here. This happened in North Dakota.
Nodak.
Like Kodak.
Yeah.
All right. So North Dakota's Senate has passed a bill to give its members more free food after killing a proposal to boost free lunches for hungry school kids.
Well, obviously, Kristen, those students are a bunch of lazy moochers who,
I mean, clearly,
go work in a coal mine or something, kid. What are you doing just hanging around expecting food? Who do you think you are?
Us hardworking people who travel to go to the Capitol and vote, we need more money for our per diem.
Absolutely. We are struggling. And as a lawmaker, I don't think lawmakers should be struggling to buy lunch. It's just not right.
So here's more details of that case. So this happened last week on Thursday, and the GOP-led chamber voted 26-21 to let state employees collect up to $45 a day to pay for meals while traveling within North Dakota. That's $10 more than they currently get, which is $35. The bill, which would cost $1 million in taxpayer money over the next 2 years, is now heading to the desk of their governor.
Who will sign it?
I would imagine. I don't know. He's a Republican.
Gian Ford. He'll sign it.
Yeah. And but the hypocrisy lies in that less than 2 weeks ago, the Senate rejected a separate bill that would have allocated $6 million over the next 2 years to provide free school lunches to all K through 12 students living at or below 200% of the federal poverty level. So this would expand on the federal program that already provides meals to students living below 130% of the poverty level. This is not unlike, I know that there is legislation and there is people, Representative Francesca Hong, Representative Christina Shelton, I think a couple others, who are also trying to work on something like this in Wisconsin as far as providing more free. I mean, this was part of actually Governor Evers' proposal for right. for his budget. So there is some people who support this happening in Wisconsin. They voted on it in North Dakota, and it was voted down. It failed by a single vote.
Oh, wow.
So it was actually really close. But notably, 13 Republicans voted against the school meal proposal, but backed the reimbursement for state employees.
Gosh, you know, it's so unusual for people to be self-serving. And I'm just stunned that lawmakers would choose their lunch money over feeding children who are under 200% under the poverty level. Think about what that means.
Because how expensive do you think lunch is in North Dakota?
I've been away from school a long time.
I'm just trying to think, 45, I guess if you're getting breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that's maybe stretching it thin. But I mean, $45 in a day, like that's a fair amount of money. But here's some of the quotes, which are so just navel gazing, and it's unbelievable. So the Republican Assistant Majority Leader, Jerry Klein, said he couldn't see any correlation whatsoever between the two bills. Another state senator Mike Wobima cited personal responsibility for why kids shouldn't get free meals.
Well, what about their personal responsibility to make sure their lunch money lasts,
or to make sure that you can spend money that within $35 for your per diem.
Seriously.
Like maybe don't get the extra frappuccino, Mike. So he went on to say, yes, I can understand kids going hungry, but is it really the problem of the school district? Is that the problem of the state of North Dakota? It's really the problem of parents being negligent with their kids if their kids are choosing to eat in the first place.
Boy, it's gotta
he
be,
sounds like a gem.
It's gotta be nice to go through life completely lacking in self-awareness. It must be a totally different reality to be able to live like that.
As someone who's fairly anxious and like people pleaser, I bet it's a lot. I bet it's nice. I mean, it's nice to not have to worry about what other people think and be like, well, this is what it is for me. Isn't it like this for everybody?
My reality.
All right. Well, we'll do one more crazy backfire, short-sighted GOP story when we come back, because Justin Jones is back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Greg Bach is here because it is Greg Bach Hump Day Wednesday. Greg Bach, what is this hour called?
The No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry.
It's right for today.
It's right for today.
Oh,
it's
you know right. What, Jake? Can you ever be on my side? Ever?
Weekdays 11 to 2.
What do you think got me this job, Greg Bach?
Oh, darn it. Shoot. I'm in.
On Civic Media.
Happy Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour.
And the Civic Media app.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
The
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear skies overnight with lows around 55. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Ample sunshine expected tomorrow, highs around 80. Clear skies again tomorrow night, lows level off around 56. Clear skies Thursday with a high of 79. 76 Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. Happy Tuesday. It is gorgeous out today.
Incredible day.
Did you put your heavy coat away?
Are you kidding? We still have this shovel by the side door. Just in case.
I came home yesterday and Mike had like moved my sleeping bag coat closer to the garage. And I was like, is this being optimistic? I hope not, but we'll see. But I am certainly going to enjoy some of our weather today because I got to take Cliffy out this morning with no coat.
Exciting.
Which was very exciting.
It's just fun to see everyone out, you know, on bikes and dogs, and we're on scooters and everybody's walking and running, and it's wonderful.
It is wonderful. And also, I would say what is wonderful is how gloriously, expeditiously the Tennessee's GOP plan to expel the Tennessee Three, I guess it was the Tennessee Two, who ended up getting expelled. How wonderfully it backfired.
Oh yeah, it's a classic case.
So Representative Justin Jones. It's Justin Jones and Justin Pearson, right? Are
right.
The two that did get expelled, and then Gloria Johnson was up for a vote by one vote. She did not get expelled. But we talked about this last week, the whole short-sightedness of this is that even if they get expelled, the Metro Councils from those districts nominate and send back an interim representative,
right,
and then they do a special election. And so last week, Representative Justin Jones made a pledge just after being booted from the Tennessee Assembly, quote, "See you on Monday." And he kept his promise.
He did.
So, Speaker Cameron Sexton and his crew apparently failed to consider in their rush to expel the Tennessee Three that the choice of interim replacements fell to the county commissions, which in the cases of both Jones and Pearson have Democratic majorities. That included District 52 in Nashville, which is what Justin Jones represents. And lo and behold, his expulsion did not go under the radar. In fact, it badly inflamed his constituents.
Oh, yeah. Especially young people.
Yeah. People are fired up and ready to vote for him. And I would imagine when the special election comes, he will get even more votes than he did last fall. And so the Metro Nashville Council member Kevin Roten tweeted, "In my 8 years on Metro Council, I have never been bombarded with emails like this. I will vote to reinstate him. I have received almost an email every minute."
Wow.
"Since Thursday, asking me to reappoint Representative Justin Jones."
Well, we played that clip last week from activist Olivia Juliana, who basically said, this is not going to come around the way you think it's going to. You have just mobilized tens of thousands of young people, and they are ticked off. And the other thing I want to throw in real quickly that this has done is it's kind of turned the spotlight on Mr. Sexton And now there's all kinds of questions about whether he actually lives in the district he represents. Uh-oh, that could be bad. Of course, nothing will happen to him. They let a representative who urinated in another person's chair stay. So obviously nothing's going to happen to Mr. Sexton, but it has shined the spotlight back on them, not necessarily in the most flattering of lights.
Certainly not. But so with on top of that, so yesterday, Justin Jones was unanimously elected as the interim successor for the vacancy of Tennessee House District 52. The whole process took less than 10 minutes.
Government can move quickly. Look at that.
And he basically went back, and we ran out of time to grab the audio from it, but he basically went back on the floor and in his like preacher delivery, gave another speech of saying they tried to crucify democracy. You know, this was on Easter Monday.
Right.
And here we are. And I haven't been able to confirm this yet, but I read somewhere that you can only be expelled once.
Oh, really?
And if that is true, they are going to make the next year, 2 years almost, they're going to make it. They're not rolling over.
But I also saw some things yesterday, and I haven't had a chance to follow up on them yet, that now the legislature is considering cutting the city councils and the number of members. They're talking about like having the number of members on city councils in Nashville and Memphis and the naughty places.
The two biggest cities in the city, the state.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't, how, the justification, I get the justification from the people who are in power because they want to hold on to power, which I don't think is right. It lacks integrity, but I get it. It's more of the constituents who, did we all just fail civics as far as how this is all supposed to work? As far as like, instead of changing your message and being responsible and accountable to your constituents, either to both the people who voted for you and didn't vote for you, as far as doing what's right, instead, let's just change the rules.
Well, that seems to have been a pattern that's been around for at least a decade. Right?
And who knows? I mean, I'm not enough of a history student to know that, like, there's probably examples throughout history where this has always been the case because absolute power corrupts absolutely. But as far as just the inability to let go and willingness to do anything to hold on, including cut people's representation. Did you read any more about what would have to happen for them to be able to actually get away with cutting that? Because I was the first to say, I had just seen the thing about being able to expel representatives once per session, and knowing that this session just started, and if both Representative Pearson and Representative Jones are back there with there's no chance that they would get expelled again. The hell they would raise and how they would certainly not be shutting up anytime soon. But I've only saw that in one place and have yet to be able to confirm it.
Well, I think one thing we can guarantee is that when they come back, they're both going to be in really, really, really small offices. You get the closet under the
stairs.
They
won't join Gloria in the basement.
Yeah, you get the one under the stairs. Have fun.
All right. Well, when we come back after the top of the hour news, what CEO should have to do the job of their lowest worker? We'll take examples. Or what would your boss learn if they had to do your job for a day? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Join us when we come back. Everything that's going on around me was meant to be. They're gonna happen anyway.
You don't know my garden. Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.